The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Today is the 3rd of May, 2017. Go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and check out the two brand new products we got. We're going to be making some major changes to the site because we feel right now the Winner's Circle is going to be the project program we're coming in with. We also have Etched in Stone. And basically, these are 12... You know, they're basically, I don't want to even call them audio. I am speaking on them, but they are 12 digital downloads that have massive amounts of information, whether it's the philosophy of coming in and starting the train, right through to dips, squats, power rack training, stone training, sandbag training, high shrugs. These are all a lot of things that have been kind of swept aside, lost. And I'm a big physical culture guy, that's what I like to call it, which I feel that we are going to even address a lot of that because I don't feel it is what it was back a long time ago. So every one of these 12 definitely going to give you routines, repetitions, a lot of insight, and it's going to be a project and a program that's going to keep going because we're not going to stop at 12. I've got 13 sitting in there, which is basically just a philosophy called Stewards of Strength. I've used that in the show near the end. You'll hear that. And we call ourselves the gatekeepers. We're the ones that want to protect strength. We're the ones that want to teach strength. But most of all, we want others to share it with one another. And that's the most important thing here for me. It's not only becoming stronger, learning how to do things, becoming more efficient, building new kinds of programs, all things that I'm doing right now just to get ready to go and lift bigger and badder stones out there. But it teaches you how to create. And when you can free yourself up to do things like that, the success rate is extremely high. That's the first project. The second one is called Etched in Stone. This, at first, we are targeting males, but the next one is going to be for women. And then the next one, we have something huge that we should have done by the end of the year for children. We've already hit that mark. If you look at Charlie Oliphant, if you look at Jason Gillen, numerous people here, and they've sent in their children. As I think the youngest one is Kelly Johnson, her three-year-old daughter, flipping sandbags. So we are creating a revolution there, and we are going to hit every genre, but we're starting out with the men, and this is late 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. This is a lot of men, I hate to say it, they're going through male menopause, the men, many of them. And they have a very large belly. They look pregnant, a lot of these males, or they have the spare tire or whatever. This is not a state you want to be in. You can just see it. Confidence levels are poor. Health is poor. Basically, you're relegated to a couch after you've probably worked in a cubicle in a job you hate for 8 hours. Well, we're going to bring you back to a time that men used to like to lift things, that were more laborious, that were more confident, that when you shook a hand on one of these guys, it was like shaking a catcher's mitt. These are important things because men, like women, like children, all need the lead in one capacity or another. And we feel through all the shows and a lot of the people we've had on here, it's sadly lost. And it's going to affect everything in your life, your marriage, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your children. And if people discount that, that's very foolish. And the main thing is this, you always want to be in good shape because it doesn't mean it could stop anything or everything from happening to you, but you have a hell of a better lifespan when you're strong. And I'll leave it at that. But go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com and look at both programs. Also, MotivationMuscle.com. /category/podcast. We have, and you know my feeling on new people coming in here, we'll bring Kelly Manzone in here very shortly. This is one of my highlights of doing this show because we are introducing more and more people to our family, and I hope Kelly will take my invitation on being part of our family now. It's very important, and I believe I'm speaking for myself. I have a duty to do that and a responsibility to everybody out there to bring them on board. So that's that. Also, too, we've been talking about donations to the show. As everybody knows, the show is very highly expensive. We're going through a lot of growing pains right now. If you'd like to contribute, it can be as little as a dollar. Just go out to my PayPal account, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And big news again, we broke last month's record for downloads. The show is just insanely exploding, and I couldn't be happier. So thanks for everything, and I'm going to bring in Kelly momentarily. Number one, she's a personal trainer, she's a kettlebell instructor, and she's a vintage strength coach. And I saw her out on Facebook a number of times, and I thought what she was doing was very impressive. And I like some of the old style stuff she likes to play around with and do. And I was like, well, I'm going to reach out to her and see if she'd be interested in coming on the show. But I'm going to bring her in momentarily, but I'm going to read one thing I've been reading constantly, and I love this. I told everybody a while back, my mom's been going through a lot of pictures of us when we were kids, putting different scrapbooks together, cleaning other things. And, you know, my dad passed away quite a while ago. And how this ever got in with all the other stuff, I'll never know. Maybe we were supposed to find this. My father was from New England, Boston, and he was a Boston fan, true blue. So this family has always been split between New York and Boston. But one team, obviously, my father always liked was the Green Bay Packers. And I think, oh, I know, Lombardi was the guy. Lombardi, there's no doubt about it. You know, same Italian style, very hard-edged, but a heart of gold. And if you didn't get to know that, you'd probably get the wrong perception. And this is in the first page of the book. It says like this. I saw the movie Patton, and it was Vince Lombardi. The situation was different, but the thought was the same. We're here to do a job, and each and every one of us will put everything we've got into getting the job done. That was Vince. Patton believed in reincarnation. Who knows? Maybe it was Patton who coached the Packers. That was the great Frank Gifford talking about the great coach, Vince Lombardi. So with that, Kelly, welcome to Motivation and Muscle.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
You are welcome. Anything I missed, websites, any way anybody can get a hold of you, lay it out there. Lay it out.
I'm on Facebook as Kelly Manzone. You could send me a friend request. I'm on Instagram, where I post most of my fitness stuff, at KelsBells88. And I have a website, kmmoves.com, and I'm also featured on GS Planet, where I am GSPlanet.com, where I'm a vintage strength coach.
Which is awesome. This is, you know, we know when we bring new people in here, obviously, we introduce everyone. And this is the question I ask everybody right off the bat. Also, too, if you want to make any comments about what I read, you're welcome to. Anything like that, you're always welcome to do anything like that. We always ask the first question. What really introduced you to physical culture? Comic books, mother, father, uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, whatever. But I always ask that first question because usually everybody will come up with something different. Other than some of the guys like myself, it's comic books and other things. But tell us what really introduced you to becoming what you are right now and what you're evolving into.
Well, I'd always been a mover and a shaker, I guess. You know, that's how I grew up. You know, I couldn't sit still. And the way I expressed myself was through kind of dance, gymnastics when I was little. But I think as I got introduced to it was spending time with my dad.
Yep.
He was really into boxing and football. And I grew up, you know, watching a lot of boxing with my dad. And he would talk about, you know, the mindset of the athletes and what it took to get in that type of physical shape. Yep. And I'm really much more into individual sports than I am into team sports. Yep. So I think a lot of that had to do with, you know, being a kid and watching boxing with my father and just being kind of in awe of that one-on-one stuff. And it's not about winning. Like, I'm not really into being number one or having to win all the time. I think it's more of the mental challenge, the physical challenge that kind of attracts me to it. So I'd say my dad's a big influence on introducing me to that end.
Well, that's awesome because I'm with you. I played a lot of team sports. I was pretty good in sports. But when we went over to my aunt's and picked up my wooden bench and my leaky sand weight set, all I had was a barbell.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I touched it when we brought it, you know, literally touched it, grabbed it down in my cellar, and I knew right there I had it. And you know what it is? Look it, I like team sports because I hung with my buddies. You know, we had a lot of fun. But yeah. I never was involved. I never got really into the whole deal like that. The reason why I liked the individual stuff is I liked everything to fall on my shoulders. Either I made it or I didn't. And I knew at a young age, and I knew from being brought up with my mother and father, and especially my father, you know, my father was very big on responsibility. And what it did for me is because of that, I felt that just doing what I like doing with the weightlifting initially, I was responsible for it. If I failed, it was on me. You know, yeah, you can make excuses and all that, but it's not going to wash after a while with you, anyone else, or if you want to stay in it. So that's why I got into it. But I can fully understand the whole thing, why you gravitated to that. And, you know, it's good. You know, it's good that, you know, it's the same way with everybody. You have relationships, and it's great when you have good relationships with your mother and father, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, and I see in my family, my brother-in-law, Dan, you know, he was a semi-pro football player. He's a head coach, varsity football teacher, the whole thing. Well, initially, he and my sister had four girls. So they range from Natalie, who's 15, Suzanne, I think, is 13, and then Olivia is, I think, 11, and Maggie's, I think she's like 9 or 8, and they had a little boy, their last one, Danny, he just turned 7. And the thing I like about Dan especially, and they are used to men being around like crazy because, you know, my sister's got the three of us, you know, three of us, we lost Jimmy, she would add four. And Dan's got his brother, obviously, and every one of them has played big sports or still weightlifting and competing. And I like that, like what you're saying with your dad. It's the presence I see with him and his daughters is incredible to me. How much they love their father, and that guy will do anything for them. And I'm telling you right now, you have to have both mother and father, I think, strong on each end. But I do feel, and this is just coming from a male here, I believe, especially my nieces and stuff, I want to be a good male presence for them. Now, I screw up sometimes with language and stuff, but what I'm saying, here is this. I want to show them that you can be a strong man and be a kind man and be a gentle and loving uncle, and still, when you have to put the pedal to the metal, it can be done. And I just think it's very important because, see, they're looking at me and anybody else that's in the family, and they're kind of gauging themselves, I hope, when they make choices down the road with who they date or who they marry or whatever they plan on doing. I hope that we have been something very big in their lives, because I know you can't stop anybody from mistakes, but I'm hoping that this male presence – has really equated to helping them with whatever they do the rest of their life. That's how I see it, and that's why when you're talking about your father, I think what do you think? I mean, now you're a grown woman, you've been out in the world, you know the deal with things. Do you feel your father was really a lasting influence on you? Just spending the time watching, you know, pugilism, which is awesome stuff. I mean, do you feel, maybe at the time you didn't know, but now that you're a grown woman, what do you feel like with the male presence?
Well, I guess, you know, I definitely didn't know at the time, but as I get further into my career and I get older, he supports all of my crazy, all the, you know, getting into kettlebell sport and everything like that. But, you know, even with music, like if you follow me on Instagram and Facebook, like music is really important to me.
These
are intertwined. My father, like, was really into sports, but he was really into music.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had an extensive vinyl collection. And instead of, like, watching TV and, like, cartoons and shit, like, we listened to records.
Cool.
And then, you know, like, so I'm completely open-minded with movement and music.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to come from the base of my dad kind of exposing me to a lot of sports.
Yeah.
Including the boxing, football, et cetera. And always saying, like, I pitched softball for, like, one season, but it's not my sport.
Right.
But I was a pretty good pitcher. But he always, like, encouraged me, you know, and was very supportive and allowed me to make my own mistakes. He wasn't, like, a helicopter parent.
I
fell and had to pick myself up through life all on my own, you know, many times.
Yeah.
And you, as you reflect, you're grateful for that experience. It makes you a stronger human,
mm-hmm.
and it makes you relatable, you know, because we all have those moments where we, you know, we're not always on top of our game.
No.
And we have to kind of come back from things. So he was influential, definitely through and supportive throughout it all, and to this day is.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I wish for everybody to have parents like that. Unfortunately, some don't, and that's what stinks. And that's what, you know, that's one of the reasons I could never be somebody's parent, but that's one of the main reasons I love doing this show. We're putting out stuff to people that maybe they've never been told that they are important, that they have the ability, the will, the desire. You know, I'm not kidding you when I say it, because I say it at the end of the show. Five words someone can say to you can change your life, and it can change it for the good or bad, and I will never back away from that either. And that's why I always think in the back of my head, who's listening to us that maybe is going through a real hard time, and they heard us, and the light bulb went off, and they said, I can do it, or I'm going to go do this. It's incredible of the hearts you can touch doing things like that. Go ahead, take
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I agree with you on that.
Next thing is this. You know, it's interesting that just the idea of a personal trainer, because we know that personal training is a funny thing. There's a lot of people that got that hang, like a lot of professions, if quote unquote, they hang the shingle and suddenly they think they're going to be able to train people. And I want to know this. I think personal training, I just know on my end, is
mm-hmm.
one size doesn't fit all, like a lot of people like to push down your throat and make you pay for it. And second of all, the other question is this. Just because you've won a title or a ribbon or something, do you think that really makes you a good trainer?
I think what makes you a good trainer is it's experience, but it's also just how passionate you are sort of about what you're doing and learning from others and evolving. I think the biggest thing is, you know, 15 years in the business, I'm completely different than I was when I started out at the age of like 22 to 38, you know?
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a one size fits all.
Right.
And I think as you experience things with your own body, as you train for sport, or if you have setbacks, like I got very ill a few years ago with food poisoning that knocked me out for 3 years with serious digestive issues.
Wow.
And my husband was unemployed at the time, and I had to work 7 days a week in fitness using my body.
Wow.
That experience of going through that, getting down to a size zero, being emaciated, but having to perform physically. And, you know, then it makes you also relatable, you know, understand when you have a client coming in with either physical issues or mental issues or, you know, an illness, you're able to kind of go in compassionately and, you know, depending on your personality type as a trainer, finding ways to either resolve an issue or aid in healing. And, you know, it's sort of like personal training or movement or exercising somebody out is just as emotional as it is physical.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I just lost this week, a few days ago, my client of 12 years passed away unexpectedly, and I was like his fourth child, a member of his family.
Wow.
And beyond just the exercise portion, it's also the connections that you make with people. So if you're a good personal trainer, your connections with your clients, you know, some of them do become family, and you know, and you have their best intentions, and you're there to listen to, you know, what they have going on, and you're there to help them move better. And, but, you know, my style of training has always been sort of conventional, but I mean, unconventional, sorry. It's like I train in the box, but I think outside of the box. And it's sort of finding that happy medium. Like, I'm fucking swinging maces in competitions and, you know, like, I live in Westport, Connecticut in Fairfield County. That's like, I'm probably the only swinging mom in Westport. You know? And so, you know, it's not like I'm bringing, you know, so it's like you have, like you're saying, it's not one size fits all. So
right.
You kind of take what that person is interested in, and then you have to tweak and modify and tweak and modify everybody.
Yeah, I totally agree. And you know something? Training is emotional. I mean, I would really love to connect something to my brain when I go out there, and no matter what I'm doing, especially when I'm lifting stones or pressing sandbags or whatever, and see what the hell's going on with me emotionally and mentally. I'll be honest with you, and this isn't bragging either. I think I'd blow the meter up. I think I'd probably set it on fire or something, because I go out there sometimes at such a high pitch. It's like it's almost like you don't have anything glued between your ears, and I think you have to at times approach things like that, because you know, with things that you want to do that are big and heavy and definitely not balanced and dangerous, at times people ask you, well, what do you think? And I'll say to them, I don't think. And they look at me like, what? I was like, if I haven't prepared for that by the time I've set my foot on that ground, I'm not doing it, all right? It's just not going to happen, or I'm going to, you know, mess it up really bad. And I don't know about you. It's very hard. You got to find, like, and you find a lot, obviously, through the show. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard to find people that can even sit and talk to you about things like this, because most people think you lift weights and that's the end of it, and that's what makes No, it's not at all. And it's a very deep, deep thing with connections all over through you and inside and all that. And when I try to tell people that, a lot of them are, they'll use like cliche words, and I'm not with any of that. And I'll say to them like this, and this is what I've been saying on the show quite a bit too. Just because I don't have a barbell attached to my shoulders or a stone with my arms wrapped around it when I'm out in public doesn't mean that any of that has left me, because it hasn't. Because I can tell you this for sure. You could maybe turn me a quarter of a turn and I'll be that guy that's out in the backyard on you. That's no kidding either, because that stuff, there's a time and place for everything. But I always feel no matter where I am, who I'm with, it's not going to take too much to turn that screw back in and make me want to be that guy again. So I guess the point of the matter is, it never leaves you, all right?
Never.
That's all I'm saying. But and that's why I want to ask you. I really think that there's a very big disconnect between what real training is, quote unquote, all right? And just going in like we have, I'm not going to give names on, but I'm sure you know the one name. They don't judge, and, you know, it's pizza day and donut day, and, you know, we got the TVs and the treadmills and all that. Now, to me, that's not training.
I don't understand the whole watching TV while you're working out.
Me neither.
That puts me way off.
I don't
get it.
Well, I'll tell you this. This is something. You know how things have gotten really out of hand? There was obviously the whole election in this country has thrown a lot of people over the edge, and it's just the stuff that's going on, I've never seen anything like it. Well, at this local YMCA, which are pretty big around here, they had the TVs on, and they had these two people next to each other on a treadmill. Something political came on, the next thing you know, they're on the floor throwing punches at each other. Well, the nice thing was nobody got hurt. They got thrown out, obviously. They're lucky they didn't get arrested. But there's no more TV time in there. So you know what? Somebody out there just did the right thing, and anybody that really wants to do something or go somewhere else now is going to get their wish, because now they don't have that distraction going on. The last thing I want to do is hear media when I'm working out. The most I might do is put just some thrash metal on, and that's about it. That's it. So,
yeah.
You know, so I guess the question is, and this comes from obviously being a trainer too, and this is so big now, especially, you know, everything we hear is mental this, mental that, I'm writing this, I'm writing that. Do you see ever a pattern in your clientele that is either pro or negative, but if it's in the middle of the road or they really want to stay on with you and you want to work with them, is there something that you could say that is a constant with people that you run into, say, the first time that you interview them or bring them in for a workout? Is there anything that you see that is a consistency with most people?
Yes. There's many, but one of the things, you know, being in Fairfield County and being close to Manhattan.
Yep.
You know, I do end up training a lot of commuters.
Okay.
And so sometimes it's this either the weekend warrior mentality,
yeah,
where, you know, they don't want to address some of their movement issues. They just want to, like, get big or put on size, but they can't move well. You know,
yep,
they commute to, you know, 1 to 2 hours each way, and then they sit behind a desk every day for 8 hours and
yep,
then sit coming back. So, like, their body's kind of locked up. And, you know, like, like a guy will come in, for example, and be like, you know, I just want to get, like, big arms. And that's not my style of training in any
right
means. You know, your body is a full unit, and things should move
yep
together.
Yep.
And, you know, I could ramble forever about that. But so that's one of the issues, of sort of having the weekend warrior come in, and you have to sort of, you know, say, well, you know, you can't squat. Like,
right,
you know, why
right
am I going to load you up with a massive bar when you literally can't move well?
Yeah.
And then there's also, you know, living in an area where there's a lot of pressure on women to be very tiny.
Yeah.
You know,
yep, yep.
I don't fit that. I'm athletic. And I'm unconventional. You
yeah
know, I even though I train in the conventional world and implement some of the unconventional stuff, I find I come across women who are very nervous about picking up weight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
We could talk about that forever.
Sure.
And that's one of those issues that comes up in often places. So that's another thing that I come across.
Yep.
And, well, you know, you're sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't sometimes.
Yeah, like, no, you're right. But you know what the funny thing is? This is what I love to hear people say, like, well, I don't want to get big like you. Or if I lift a weight, you know, as a woman, it's not going to look good or aesthetically pleasing. I'm like, you know something, you know, I'm not into women that are just so emaciated because they figure if they just die to death, don't eat, you know, maybe do some, because how many people you've probably run into, especially like myself, these people run literally till they can't run anymore. And I'm like, oh my God. And they can't walk anymore. And I had
yeah
this one girl that, well, this one girl I know who knew, I knew real good, who had worked at a health food store near my house. She decided she was going to go vegan. Now, she didn't go fully, but she got off red meat and everything else. So she says to me, look, I've lost weight. And, you know, she looked good. But like 6 months into it, she wasn't going to be running marathons anymore. She was breaking down like crazy. And I mean breaking down. So I don't see her now for a while because, you know, I'm out there sporadically and mm-hmm she works more at night. So I saw her about maybe 7 or 8 months later, and I said to her, I said, hey, Renee, and she said, hey, Eric, guess what I did? And I was like, what? She goes, I started eating grass-fed meat again, especially red meat. I said, yeah. She goes, as soon as I started doing that, I started healing up, and I started being able to run marathons again. And I was like, hey, you know what? It worked for you. You tried something. It didn't work. And
right
what I find with a lot of this stuff, especially like with a lot of women, is – they are petrified to put any weight on them. And I'm like, but we're not talking about, you know, drinking soda so you can just get sugarized totally, and eating, you know, anything out there. I mean, fast foods, anything that's going to have corn syrups, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a very hard sell. But what I have found where I've had a lot of success, obviously, is sandbag training. It seems
love sandbags.
It's awesome. And it seems to be something that I can sell to a lot of the female population here. And I've never really thought of it, you know, even asked them of it. It's like, you know, and we do some barbell work, obviously, but nothing big. But what is it about a sandbag? I don't think a lot of people, males and females, really equate sandbag training to, quote unquote, you know, when they love to say, well, I don't want to get big. I'm like, wow, right, man. I'll tell you this, you know, with what I'm going after with some sandbag stuff overhead, I won't ever tell them unless they saw it on video, but you can get mighty damn big off a sandbag, let me tell you. But
yes, you can.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. But I understand what you're saying. And push, being near Manhattan, you know, money, yeah, and okay, well,
and
that,
everything fast. Yeah, yeah. You got to get results after one workout.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's from watching the infomercials with, I love when people say that, 90 days, 90 days, and, well, did you know they're all paid models or ex-jocks or failed models or failed jocks, folks? And here's another thing, if you know anything about this, they're not looking like that 365 days out of the year, you know, and they get ready to do those shoots and all that, but it doesn't even matter. I think with what you do, especially, you're building strength that is something you can use all the time, and you're functional, and most people, you know, we talk about mobility and all that, and that's fine, but you got to be functional. You have a child, you have responsibilities, you train people, you travel. If you're not functionally strong, you're not doing any of that stuff. And, you know, from not being well for a while, you know, you understand now totally what it's like to not be yourself. And then,
absolutely,
you know, but, you know, this is the thing. A very interesting thing I want to ask. Let's talk about a little bit about, well, we've talked about the training end. Let's talk a little bit about kettlebells, because I've seen you use massive kettlebells, and that seems to be something you love to do. Tell me how you got into it, and how big are kettlebells in Kelly's program, put it that way.
Okay, well, I started in the business in late 2002, but I didn't really get into kettlebells until about like 2008-ish.
Okay.
And I got a few, and then I was got certified by Anthony from Art of Strength, Anthony DeLugio, who I'm very excited. Him and I are teaming up right now. But so that was my first certification with kettlebells in 2009, and I dove in like full.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I fucking love this tool, and all my vintage barbells, vintage dumbbells, grip stuff is all from Art of Strength back in 2009, along with my log and some of my sandbags and ropes and stuff.
Awesome.
And I just, you know, I even though I started off, you know, working at a conventional gym, my mindset was always sort of leaning toward, I fucking hate machines. Like, I'm not going to put somebody down and, like, have them do, and then, like, you know, go in a row.
Yeah.
And so I knew, like, the conventional gym was where I was going to start, but it wasn't what I was interested in. I was the first one that brought in a kettlebell into the gym with me. I was the first one that brought in the TRX when that came out. And so, you know, I did numerous workshops and workshops with Anthony and wrote for his website during my pregnancy. And I swung a kettlebell until I was 34 weeks along. And
awesome.
My son was, he was 3 weeks early, and it was awesome. It was easy. But, you know, kettlebells, I don't know what it is about a kettlebell, but for me in particular, when a kettlebell is in my hand, it's like I feel content.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's my Zen mode, man. I put on my music or without music, and those bells are in my hand, whether it's, you know, hard style, flow style, and recently sports style, but I'm freaking happy. And I love how it becomes an extension of your body.
Yep.
And I love the various grips and sizes of kettlebells. Different companies have different feels. And, you know, like, I find in the area that I work in, you know, kettlebells sort of have this, you know, bad reputation of like, oh, isn't it going to hurt you back, your back? And anybody in fitness who has, you know, extensive experience with kettlebells knows that if you're properly trained, it's not the tool that is, you know, that is hurting you. It's the technique. And there's plenty of trainers who never properly learn technique because it's a process. Kettlebells make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You got to dedicate yourself to learning. It's like, so it's one of those things that you and I talked about before, you know, like people want it and they want it now. That's not a kettlebell.
No.
You need to go through the entire experience. So I implement it into my training, but very few of my clients really want to do the process.
Right.
The real journey of kettlebells. And, you know, you know how it goes. Like the first time you're trying to learn a clean and it's smacking the back of your, you know, your hand, wrist, and you're trying to like snatch and you're like, what the fuck is happening here? You know? So it's like in that, but even the basics, like, you know, the solid basics of how to swing clean and, you know, squat and press, you know, whatever it may be. Like if you're in the business and you're going to put a kettlebell into your client's hand, you should know how to use that tool.
That's
and
right.
I think that's why the kettlebell itself in the fitness industry or in gyms in the area, in pockets everywhere, you know, gets that like, oh, doesn't that hurt your back?
Yeah.
Or, oh, you know, like they're intimidated.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
They don't need to be intimidated if the people that were demonstrating and using it were, you know, sharing what it's about, how to use that tool and how to use it well.
Well, I think a lot of that, too, is due to, we were talking about this the other day, there's so many people out there acting like they've got the answers and they've got to hide them or you got to come to me and I'll just tell you, you know, privately. That's a load of crap. And another thing I think there's too much of now, you know, internet and all that is a blessing in disguise. We need it for what we do, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, how many more damn YouTube video can you watch before you're going to go out and actually do something in a workout? And how many people have you heard? I'm sure you hear it constantly. Well, deadlifts hurt your lower back, or bent rows hurt your lower back, or, you know, stiff legs are no good, or whatever. Look, squats are notorious. We know that. You press over it. Well, you know something? If that's the way you're going to live your life, you're never going to do anything. And I agree. Poor posture. Sitting at a desk all day, especially on your ass, because if anybody knows anything, if you sit a lot, it will take away from your squat. And that, I've read
Absolutely.
Medical studies on that, all right?
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the granddaddy of them all. It's like this. If you go to Kelly, you come to me or anybody, all right, that's affiliated here, I am positive that you're going to get the proper training, whether it's online or face-to-face. But I see this more and more. Well, it costs too much. Well, it does it? I mean, I know people that will go out and spend $40,000 on a Mustang, all right, but yet they won't spend the $1,000 a year on personal training. And I scratch my head and I'm saying to myself, there's going to come a time in your life because you're not in good shape that you're going to have some type of medical issue, and that might be when you're going to have to dump that Mustang you paid $40,000 for, all right? The whole point of the matter is I don't know what it is, and maybe it's the way it's been built, the way people have gone to poor trainers, et cetera, but there still is that disconnect where they don't understand that your health is going to drive everything in your life, everything,
Absolutely.
Okay? I can't go out and lift stones. You can't throw around kettlebells or press, you know, dumbbells to the side of you or whatever you want to do, or I can't go under that big squat bar and start it at the bottom of the lift if my health is done. I can't even sit here and talk to Kelly because I'm not feeling good, so how am I going to come on and do a show with her? So this is why I'm trying to figure in every way we can to fix this disconnect with people, to say to them. I even said on a show with Paul Firepower.
Oh, I love Paul. I'm helping him set up a workshop here.
Oh, awesome.
Last week of July.
Paul,
He's awesome.
Paul might be coming to New York, so if he is, we're hooking up.
Hell yeah.
So, I mean, he says, I want to come see that place. I was like, come and see it, man. But to make a long story short, we did a show on Disconnect. And, you know, like I say, how about getting off your devices if you can for one day at a time? All right, even if it's on a Sunday, all right? How about spending the day going and just doing something or just sitting outside and reading a book? Now, I know most people be, what? How can I go without my phone? I'll tell you what, man. You know what I did last night? I was so sick and tired of everything yesterday and all the stuff and all this. I went down. I cooked out last night in between the raindrops, okay? And I shut everything down, which I never do, at 5:45 p.m. and I didn't look at it till 5:30 this morning.
That's so smart, Eric. Yep. I'm starting to learn how to do that too.
Yep.
And on your point you made earlier about like the exercise with the TVs.
Yep.
Like if people don't, if they could just take a moment to turn off that TV.
Yep.
And get while they're exercising. And get familiar with their body and how it moves, then you start to like mentally and emotionally connect to your workout. And once you do that, then you'll be able, that's sort of the gateway to get the results that you're kind of looking for, but also like fucking like realistic results.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. You know? Hey, look, if someone comes to you, I mean, I know when you made this statement before, and it makes me really laugh in some ways. I don't know if I don't think they mean it disrespectful. Some people don't. People say that to me too.
Yeah.
If I was coming to you and I saw you doing the things you do, what I've seen out on Facebook, and your attitude, because I can I know I've talked to you a few times before we came on the air today, off air. I would want to engage with you if I was serious, because my you know. Everybody's got these perceptions of what a guy and a girl should look like, all right? One thing I think to me more than anything, well, number one, I can't date a conventional woman. I never have been in the last, been able to in the last 25 years because we don't mesh, all right? Yeah, we don't. Number two, I like women, obviously, that have a good relationship with their brothers and their father, because I think it's very important. I said that before when you were talking about your dad and I was talking about my nieces, how it's just, I think it's a different style. Think about my sister, four of us and one girl. We used to terrorize her, man, but she's very good. You know what I mean? It's a different thing the way she is with males, and right or wrong, whatever, that's the way it was. All right. We got in plenty of trouble. Believe me, the old man would have whacked us across the head if he caught us doing half the shit we did, but that's neither here nor there. The point of the matter is I don't care what you choose to be with lifting. I mean, I like strong women. That's the way I am. I've always been, obviously. I like women that have a build. I'm not saying they got to have a 20-inch arm. But, man, when you're dressed up and we're going out and every head's turning, I'm glad, because I'm like, here's somebody that takes pride in themselves and their body. And if they don't like how big your arms are, you got a little trap action on you, who gives a shit? They don't have to look at you. I do. And the thing I'm trying to say here is this. If I came to you, I know you're a success. I can look at you bodily, and then I hear you talk to me, and I'm like, okay, I want to sign up with her. Rather than going with some girl that's all spandexed out or whatever she's doing these days, yep, she looks good. You know, the hair, the nails, the whole deal. But, man, when you get down to it, she's nothing but a paper tiger, as we call the guys here. Okay? If you're a paper tiger, you're on your way out of here, all right?
Well, I also think that mainstream fitness has forgotten about women over the age of 35.
I agree.
Like, it's sort of ridiculous. I have a friend who's a fitness model. He's 39. He gets paired up with 20-year-olds and 22-year-olds.
Yeah.
Women, we get better with age. I haven't even, I am just, when we talked on the phone the other day, I'm like, I haven't even hit my peak yet. I'm just getting started.
No.
And I'm going to be 38. Like, I know it's like, and it's funny when you hear women or you hear men, you know, your clientele that come in and they're 40 and they think that they're like done. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, you know why they're, you know why they're, yeah, but you know why they're done?
Life is long, man.
No, it is, but. But you know what's happened to them is they've gotten soft and flabby, And a couple of my friends have gotten like that that I train with. And it's funny as hell when we sit down and bullshit with each other. And you know what they like to lay on me all the time? And it's got pretty heated too. Well, you're not married. You don't have kids. I'm like, really? So what's that got to do? It's an excuse. And I say to them like this, what happened to your wives, man? Because when you married them, everybody lifted. It was a whole big party back then, all right? What happened? Well, you know what they say to me? You need to grow up. I said, I guess I'm not going to grow up because I got two goddamn businesses right now that are all strength oriented. I got a strength podcast. Well, you know, that's the way you want to do things. Here's what they like to say to me all the time, and I love this, and I come back at them all the time. You know, you're not going to be young forever. I'm like, yeah, I realize that. And they're like, if you don't start deciding to settle down or maybe have a kid or two before it's too late, you're going to be a lonely old man. I said, you don't know me very well then, because I'll never be lonely, and I don't care about the old man shit, because I'll find somebody that likes to do the stuff I do, because I'm a seeker, man, and then others seek you. See, look, I don't like getting into this with people, because I think everybody's got a right to choose the life they want, and I'm not
absolutely,
and I'm not adverse to anybody saying anything to me, you know, as long as it's not disrespectful. You have a right to open your mouth, but I have a right to defend if I feel like I do, or come back at you. If you don't like that, then we don't need to open that can of worms every time. And then you hear, well, we're just looking out for you. We want the best. It's like, go screw yourself.
I'm finding myself in a position that I'm defending myself recently,
yep.
You know, with the decision to take on kettlebell sport,
sure.
the decision to compete in Mace.
Sure.
And thinking like, you know, I'm like, I'm constantly inspired by other athletes. You know, I'm going to these competitions.
Yep.
And I'm next to, on the platform, a woman who's 58 and she's kicking my ass.
You know, yep.
So it's just like, you know, I think I'm finding myself defending myself, you know, sometimes, but it, you know, I don't get defensive in any way.
No.
But I'm like, I'm inspired by people 20 years older than me. Like,
Yeah.
It's just interesting. Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes people are, you know, it sounds like maybe the people around you may be a little intimidated
by how
you are, or they don't understand, and they don't know how to sometimes. I think the energy, when you train the way that you train and the style of training that I personally feel passionate about, I think it sometimes it makes people feel uncomfortable in a way.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly why. And I think it's because we're happy.
Yeah.
And I think it's because we have this thing where we're just sort of, our mechanism is like, we just go.
Well,
and
and I'll tell you right now, you made the perfect segue into what I'm going to say here. I think that people like us overwhelm people. And I don't mean this in an intentional way either, but our personas are always gravitating. You know, we talked about, you and I and everybody have down days. I've had days here where it's like, I don't want to even do this anymore.
Oh, yeah.
But I always resurrect myself in one way or another. And this is all part of growing. But I feel, you know, like, when I had Kirsten on here,
I love her.
You know, she sent me a note. She sent it out on Facebook too. She was like, I don't know when I've talked to anybody like you. She said, she goes, you have me so friggin' wired out. She goes, it's time for me to go to bed, and I can't even go to bed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She goes, I thank you for that. I don't do that. This is just my persona. And not only that, and I'm not forceful in a way that, you wouldn't like me, but I am a New York. I'm Italian, and it's genetically in my.
Well, you know, I'm married to an Italian.
Right,
so
you know.
I get it.
Right, you know. But you know what I mean? It's I'm a forceful guy that's very opinionated, but I will always give you the ability to respond or be my friend if you want to be. I like all that. I didn't know you from a hole in the wall like you didn't know me. But I consider you, even though we've talked three or four times, I feel you're a colleague, a friend of mine. You're part of our family. Because,
absolutely.
Because I think that you and I definitely have a very good exchange. And I think I know you can tell your passion when you talk. And I know that you're a go-getter. And see, that's the people I gravitate to. And I hope I gravitate them to me, because it's very important. Now, look, I know we got a couple minutes left before you got to go. And I want you to come back, and we'll get into even more nuts and bolts. But tell
I'll definitely come back.
Tell me this. What do you if you had to look in a crystal ball right now, or let's just look at 2017, and it's moving quickly. Where do you see yourself in the Christmas Eve? Let's say December 24th, 2017. What do you got between this window between May 3rd? And let's say Christmas Eve of this year, where do you think you're going if you can make a prediction? What do you want to do that's real important to you? And let's just, we'll go there, and then we'll just summarize everything, and we'll get ready for the, okay? So take it away.
The biggest thing that I'm gravitating towards, and after going through the experience of being sick for 3 years and having to be under a tremendous amount of stress during that time, and have my body break down because I was emaciated from, you know, colitis and fighting back, is now, like, I don't give a shit anymore. Like, I've learned to let go, and I've always been driven. I've always had a lot of energy and an active mind and a hyper-focus for stuff, and I have this nice, calm hyper-focus with what's happening with, like, blogging, you know, being featured on your podcast, you know, putting up a video on Kells Bells 88 on Instagram and sharing, like, something that I'm passionate about. And it's led to conversations with people, to, you know, networking. But the biggest thing for me going into the end of the year is just, instead of, like, having to get everything, you know, done and be super critical on myself, I'm just being, I'm just letting it go. And I want to continue to travel with Kettlebell Sport and, you know, the projects that Anthony DeLugio and my buddy Yuri and I have for GS Planet, getting them off the ground. And, you know, just sort of being able to also share with women that, you know, over the age of 35, like, you could still be a rocking athlete, and you could, you know, if I could inspire another woman to pick up a mace and decide to get on the platform to compete, that's awesome. So it's sort of just, you know, like, connecting, sharing, and, you know, staying the course. Like, that, I just, I'm really in a completely happy state right now, and most of that is just, like, what we had talked about earlier, is, you know, experience, and then also reflecting back on the foundation of, like, where some of those things came from, like, you know, the boxing with my dad,
absolutely, you know,
it's all connected, and I think if you're able to kind of, I've gotten rid of that background noise, and I've just started to just do it. Feels right, I'm going to do it. And I think that's been the biggest change this year when my health rebounded.
I think that's super.
Going into it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And we talked offline, but we'll talk again. I'd like to get you an Etched for Women.
I'd love to
bring you on board there, but we'll talk more about that when, as we go along with it. But your personality and your drive is just what I'm looking for. And we've got the other women involved. They're the same way. You know, and they're not 25-year-olds. I think Kelly's the youngest, and it'd be you, and then, like, Brandy Holloman's one of them. Brandy, I think, is probably in her late 40s now, so, or maybe early 40s, but really, really talented women that I feel would be such an asset to this next product, because the movements and the way I gear everything up, I don't care who you are, you know. I don't want to get big. Well, you can be anything you want with a sandbag. And when we graduate to stones, like I said, if you're ever in this area or some way we hook up maybe at some point this year, I want to put you on the Crusher Stone, man.
I'd definitely give that a shot.
You'd go bananas on that. But we'll talk about that another time. Give out any information you want. I'll give mine out and just hang on the line, and we'll get you off here in a few minutes.
Okay. Once again, you know, Kelly Manzoni on Facebook if you want to send a friend request, and kmmoves.com is my website. Though I'm not very active on that. That's going to be connected in soon with GS Planet. and on Instagram at KelsBells88. And you could follow and feel free to DM me if you have any questions or if you want to know more about like kettlebells or unconventional training or just to say hello.
Okay. Hey, that's cool. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to Fiorella Barbell Co. and look at both products. Number one, the Winner Circle, an etched in stone for men. Also, two, don't forget, if you can donate to the company, grow with the company, Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com. It's out on PayPal. Donations would be appreciated. But we are a growing, growing company, and we will get there one way or another. You can bet on that. Also, too, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Just go out and look at how many we have out there. I'll tell you this. We've been up a little over 2 years, and I went out and ran the program. We have 680 podcasts already out there, and I've let off this year. I was doing 9 to 15. I mean, we'll get going with some more, but we're still doing plenty. That even the guy at Blueberry said, I can't believe you've done that many in this time. I said, building the brand, being a success is what really matters to me, but we're offering the best product, I believe, in the whole world out there. There's a lot of people out there, but that's not our concern. Our concern is our guests, our family, and everybody else, and that's what I care about. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got, and we thank everybody. AHA, aha, that's the directory you can find us on for your car, Motivation and Muscle. If there's a show you'd like Kelly and I to do, go out to Fiorella Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with a group of stuff. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them or give them words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to anyone or give them a smile for that day because that might be all they get. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, push it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. As the great Hoosa Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the very beginning, when I listen to your shows, there's testosterone pouring out of my speakers. We'll say that to the very end. Frank Klein, who was my greatest business professor in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, my chiropractor, would walk everybody to the door and say, keep smiling. John was one of the greatest men I've ever met, and we've lost him almost 3 years ago to cancer. Miss John like you wouldn't believe. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends we're coming because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join the family. Join the revolution. I promise you, the next 30 years of your life is going to be just dynamite. Also, too, as Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We'll take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. We are extraordinary, not ordinary here. Kelly, it's been an honor to have you on, let me tell you.
Thank you, Eric. I'm looking forward to the next time, man.
You got it. We will have you on very soon. So, everybody, you got what? Today's Wednesday. You got 4 more days to make good on your promise to the world, and then you got the rest of your life. Go out and do it. And enjoy it because life is calling on you to participate. Thanks, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.